Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, Creepies, thanks for joining us for episode number 72. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Guys, what's going on tonight?
Well, hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Governor.
Morning. Okay.
Good morning. Oh, wow.
wait a minute.
Psych me out. I was going for the English accent route, and you're going for the let's figure out what time of the day or night it is.
It's actually kind of surprising to me now. I never know how you're going to respond. You know, like you guys say, well, I don't know if you're going to say, hey, fellows or guys or what, gentlemen. I don't know what you guys are going to say, to be honest with you. So I'm just like, what are they going to say?
I was channeling Cruella DeVille's henchmen, Horace and Jasper, you know. Hello, Governor. You know, so I don't know. I don't know where that
Did
came from.
Did you hit your head?
I might have jarred it just a little bit.
I heard it was good morning at 7:30 p.m.
Well, I heard a guy at work. He is one of the Chrysler in-house guys. And another guy, I can't remember what his name is. I'll just use a name. He's like, hey, Mike, how you doing? This is after lunch, so it's like, you know, 12:30. And he goes, oh, morning.
Nobody corrected him?
No. Said, oh, okay.
Now, I've done that before. I've said, hey, good morning. Oh, shoot. I mean, good afternoon or vice versa.
Oh, but I've done that too. Yeah. Where it's just like, I don't even know.
Sort of stuck with me.
Okay.
Well. It was funny.
That's good. I was like, what? I got Mr. British over here, and Nate thinks it's in the morning.
Top of the morning, too. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. No,
I might be
leprechaun. Off a
that's
little
leprechaun,
bit
sorry.
Severely dehydrated and delirious. You know, I don't know.
I know.
You know, working true. Up on a catwalk in 120 degrees. And
oh, man.
Sweating all day.
You I said still have my sweat no shower because I was freezing at the church.
We're not going to bring that up again, are we?
Freezing. Oh, man.
I feel sorry for you.
Try
not
wearing a sweatshirt. It might keep me a little cooler. I don't know.
That's awful. Yeah. Yeah, I've been freezing, by the way. My boss, Tori, he's got the church set at like 42, I think. But anyway, but he wears his shorts. And
sounds wonderful.
Shorts,
yeah.
And, yeah. Tank tops and shirts. And
gets hot.
I've got my windbreakers and 3/4 length and a sweatshirt, and I'm still freezing. But anyway, we are here once again recording. So
we are indeed.
What did I say? Episode 72. Nice.
72, yeah.
That's we're making it, right?
Creeping up.
What are we making?
I don't know.
It.
We're making it up. We're making
that's right, yeah.
So you guys are doing all right, though?
Yeah, doing okay.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. We, what was it? We survived 4th of July a couple of weeks ago. And
we did.
Survived, let's see. We saw a movie last night.
Yes.
The Black Phone with Ethan Hawke.
Do you highly recommend, right?
Highly recommend. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good.
Has on the list. Write that down.
Scary.
Yeah. The dude's masks are creepy.
Oh, yeah.
My daughter, of course, went with us with a friend.
And there's kids involved.
Yeah, they're really, they're like, they're really good actors. They're like the Stranger Things kids, but they're really good. And they're a big part of the movie.
Yeah.
The kids. And they are talented, very well written, and creepy. Yeah. So it did everything it needed to. So we had a fun time. So, you guys see any movies? Any creepy, scary, any good movies whatsoever?
What did we watch? I don't think so.
Because we're one episode away from the first, you know, season 4, the first half of the new season of Stranger Things. So
yeah,
that's what we've been hooked on.
I'm working on that first half of the new season.
Yeah, we got the 2-hour one coming up, I think 2:20.
Saw the new Minions movie with the kids.
Did you?
We did.
I love the Minions. They're awesome.
It was good.
We've seen all those movies.
I liked it. What was it? The
King Bob.
It's Gru. It's the Gru movie, basically.
Yeah,
Gru starts in the 70s, but it's pretty funny.
Right.
Yeah. I want to say the age of Gru or the beginning of Gru, whatever the heck it's called. But it was good. It was entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
It's just silly and irreverent. But
oh, yeah.
Claire and Jenna fell asleep on me. And Claire goes, I don't understand this movie, but everybody else enjoyed it. So other than that. We brought blankets.
I don't understand.
We had people that knew us there. They were like, you guys were like set. You had blankets and all, nice. You know, all your fixins and everything. And
fixins?
Fixins, yeah.
Wow.
We did
the time. Got all your fixins.
We did the Dolby, you know, whatever, the comfortable chairs and everything. Yeah.
Oh, we're,
that was ridiculous. Yeah.
Where did you see it at?
The IMAX. There,
oh, IMAX. At, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Do they have reclining seats?
They did.
I like the one in Indeed. Avon. They have reclining seats, but the mm-hmm. one in Plainfield doesn't. But yeah. I mean, it's comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's,
yeah.
I like the ones that kick back. And
oh, yeah.
They had them in Galveston. When we, what movie did we see? I can't remember what. Oh, the Jurassic World.
Jurassic World, yeah.
You that's right. You weren't there. We're like waiting on you the whole time.
He told us, though.
The new Jurassic World. And, yeah, they had the reclining seats. Oh, man, it's nice. And they had the trays.
Living the life of Riley.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, so right. You have your snacks.
Have your steak dinner, right?
Well, I have chicken. But well, good. I'm glad we're meeting up to record. And I'm glad the week is going so far well for you. Whatever. Did that make sense, what I just said?
Yeah.
Anyway, before I fumble around, Sean.
Yes?
I'm going to let you tell the listeners some announcements.
I'm going to do the first part of the announcements then. Does that make sense? That's probably
do the first, because I'm thinking do the second part later on.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. Numerical order and everything.
It's worked so far.
So we always...
Follow your script.
Always. Script? There's no script.
Hey, there's no script.
This is conversational. What are you talking about? Off the cuff. Off the cuff. Wait, I didn't wear my cuffs. The first
get off cuff.
And the main thing that we want to highlight in this podcast, in this time, do I have your attention, is to give out the substance abuse and mental health hotline first, because mm-hmm. this is a community for mental health. And it's 1-800-662-4357. We also want to give out the suicide veterans and bullying, I said that right, hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255. Or you can text 838255. And also, there is a bullying website, stopbullying.gov.
Good job.
Thank you.
Really good job.
It's always nice when I don't just dial it in.
And you didn't even have a script.
Script.
Forget what
Nate
said, everybody. There is no script. We don't use a script. Wait, no, it says here on the script. We don't use
on the script.
Wait a minute, I'm confusing myself.
Do not mention the script.
Right? We've gone over this 1,000 times, Todd. Right.
Nate, how many times? I've told you, read the script and don't.
I did read the script.
Wait a minute. Don't say. Okay. Yeah, we want to make sure our creepies are taking care of themselves. So, yeah, do that, please. And I have one shout out.
Ooh. Just one?
Now, yeah, shout out loud. this young man, you're going to crack up. He is at the White Castle that I go to.
Oh, my gosh.
His name is Dre. And he was so professional, so pleasant, a young guy.
Is he a doctor?
No.
Not Dr. Dre?
Not Dr. Dre, no.
Sorry.
That would have been awesome.
Sorry, Dre, I had to.
But I like this
I'm sure he's heard
I like
that
this young man. And he was awesome, and he I gave him one of our business cards. And he said that his girlfriend listens to this stuff. He said, I listen to Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson. I said, smart guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I told him I'd give him a shout out. So shout out to Dre at the White Castle here in Plainfield.
Yes.
Then I've got my last dad stat. That's right, creepies.
Last one? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? You're gonna put
if you'd read the script, it says it on there.
Oh, does it really? Oh, my gosh. Are you
see, that? Guys, he didn't even listen. He didn't
I didn't
read
think
the script,
there was a
so
script. Oh, I didn't see that it said last. Though.
No, it's been fun. I'm going to change it up. So I'm going to do something different. So this is the last dad stat. Okay. Here we go.
I'm sad.
I'm a little sad too. Are we gonna throw out that's a wrap too?
Huh?
Nothing.
No, we can't do that. No, no. Plus, we got to make sure Nate's happy because he runs this. He runs the show.
That's right.
Okay, are you ready for the last dad stat?
I'm ready.
Fact: it takes a drop of water 90 days to travel the entire Mississippi River. That is right. You heard it.
Wow. I'm
90 days.
Contemplate that.
So it says, spanning 2,340 miles, the Mississippi River is the third largest watershed in the world, which I did not know that. That's one long length of water. So long, in fact, that it takes one drop of water approximately 90 days to travel its entire length. So there you go.
I want to know. I truly want to know who in the world and where do they get the money to
I know the funding. And
yeah,
I get it. I know.
What do you want to research? Drop of water.
Okay.
Where do you want to start? Mississippi River.
Mississippi.
Okay.
See how long it takes.
It's a big watershed.
It's a long way to watch it. I mean,
right?
How would you get it not mixed up with the other water?
How do you
droplets?
Label it? You label it like you do a shark or a dolphin or a turtle.
Right, they tag it?
They tag it, right?
Write your name on
it. Tag it and bag it.
That one's mine.
It's my water drop.
So there you go, 90 days. And that's my last dad stat. And don't be sad, creepies.
I don't know how to.
Nate, Sean, don't be sad.
I'm a little sad.
I'll have something different starting next.
Be sad, be glad.
Week.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Something different.
Okay. Now, with that said,
beat me on air.
That's right. It's called beat the crap out of Sean.
Out of your co-host.
All right.
Not your sound engineer.
And I'm going to have Nate.
That's what the bats are for.
Oh.
That's a fact. And
that's a fact, Jack.
And we're going to have special music, too. I've probably been working on that.
Take out all your aggressions, eh?
We would not do that to you, Sean.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, we're going to replace you with Ella, though.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Tell your little story about your kids.
They were here Friday night. So this last Friday night, we came over here and we were spending time together. And before we got ready to leave, they said, "Can we go see the podcast studio?" And I said, "Sure." And so they sat down and then they go, "Can you turn it on for us?" And I said, "I have no idea how to do that." So Nate flicked one switch.
There it is, but I know how to.
Yeah, right. I was like, "I don't know how to do that." I said, "Yeah, we're not going to actually record." But they sat down. And I took a video of it. I was showing the guys, and I took some pictures. I sat in Todd's seat.
You sauteed my seat?
I did saute your seat. I wasn't going to tell you about that one. William sat where Nate's at, and then Ella sat where I'm at, and she did a really good job. So both of them did. I think we both did.
They look natural. They really did. They look natural.
It was cute. Mm-hmm. It was very cute.
I think they liked hearing themselves.
I think so. Oh, they could hear themselves in their ears, yes.
Kind of like Sean.
I know.
I love this. I can do this all day. I can just keep on talking.
Okay. That was very cute, though. It was funny. So, Sean.
Yes.
Let's tell the listeners what we're going to talk about.
We are going to talk about, and I first have to give credit where credit is due, because I say that all the time, right? And this is Nate's pick. And he had shucky darn. This
He's blushing.
No, that's sunburn.
Heat stroke. He blotches from work. Okay.
I'm going to draw this out as long as I can. We are going to talk about the Grim Reaper. Death itself.
He's coming for me.
The bringer
someday
of death.
Yep.
Coming for us all.
Well, we talked about Satan not that long ago. So long ago. I cannot talk tonight. I'm just going to go into another language.
We might gain some more foreign.
Had a patient that was a linguist, and she worked at IU, two different campuses, and then she retired as a, she said, a transcriptionist in the medical field for like IU Hospital. Mm-hmm. And so she's a good talker, right? She was a big talker, and I was a big talker, and I was joking with her and everything. And I asked her, I said, as a linguist, how many languages do you know? And she said, two. She said, I know English and Spanish. She goes, how many do you know? And I said, barely one. And she goes,
I hear you.
She did say, it was very complimentary, sort of, I think. She goes, I think you have a good handle on the English language. She goes, you're very vocal, very verbal. I was like,
that's a little different than
I do, yeah.
You talk.
You're very verbose. Like, thanks.
All right.
So anyway.
I do pretty well, other than big words.
Yeah. You're doing better than I am tonight, though.
It'll get better.
And I get lazy. I mumble.
I'm a mumbler. I'm a lazy talker.
I do. I'm lazy. So, Nate, you want to read that?
Sheba, shaba, sheba, shaba.
So, anyway.
All right. Grim.
Mr.
Reaper.
Grim.
Yep.
Mr. Grim Reaper.
Little foundation.
There we go.
Yeah.
Commonly known as death. Death is frequently imaged as a personified force. In some mythologies, a character known as the Grim Reaper, usually depicted as a berobed skeleton wielding a scythe, causes the victim's death by coming to collect the person's soul. Other beliefs hold that the specter of death is only a psychopomp.
Had me a psychopomp. Yes.
I told you, man.
What the heck is a psychopomp?
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
I don't know. Look it up. Serving to sever the last ties between the soul and the body, and to guide the deceased to the afterlife without having to control over... Oh, I am struggling.
I'm losing now my place. I feel good about myself.
Without having to having any control over when or how the victim dies. Death is most often personified in male form, although in certain cultures, death is perceived as female.
Wow. You made it. I did look
up.
That
was a slippery slope.
That was. I might.
My eyes were like crossing.
I might join you.
Or a slippery slip.
Slippery slop.
I might join you down there, too. I did click on psychopomps, and it's from the Greek word, something I can't pronounce, literally meaning the guide of souls. Are creatures, spirits, angels, demons, or deities in many religions whose responsibility is to escort newly deceased souls from earth to the afterlife. Their role is not to judge the deceased, but simply to guide them, appearing frequently on funerary art. I've never heard of this. I love this.
I haven't either.
Psychopomps. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a cheerleader. insert jokes there. Psychopomps have been depicted at different times and in different cultures as anthropomorphic. Yes, I said that quickly. Entities, horses, deer dogs. Okay, I don't know.
Deer dogs?
Whip. Poor wills. I don't know what that means.
Whippoorwills.
Whippoorwills. There you go. I said it better that way. Ravens, crows, vultures, owls, sparrows, and cuckoos. Excuse me. When seen as birds, they are often seen in huge masses waiting outside the home of the dying. This is all getting really good already. We haven't even gotten to that.
I'm depressed.
Okay. A little bit. Well, we are talking about the Grim Reapers.
So. Yeah. Very interesting.
And the main thing I have noticed about the Grim Reaper is everybody looks at him as being evil, but he doesn't really necessarily attack anybody. He's more of just a guide.
Yeah, he's not killing them.
Yeah.
He's not going after them to murder. Yeah. I mean, he's a messenger.
Yeah.
The messenger of death.
Like this says right here, the Grim Reaper has often falsely been depicted as an evil spirit that preys on mortals. In truth, however, they are neither evil nor good, merely a force of nature and order.
Yeah, I buy that. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that as a kid growing up and even probably
he's a scary dude.
Yeah, because look at the image, and that's kind of what you assume would be an evil-looking character. Or he's got bad intentions, and he's just doing his job, basically. Yeah, he's a middleman. That's what one of the articles they call him a middleman because he's like, he's just, hey, I'm doing my job. I'm not good or bad. I'm not here to murder you. I was told to come get you.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's a guide. Poor Grim Reaper gets all.
I just always see the
He's scary.
Robed arm come up and the skeletal fingers pointing.
It's like Charon in Clash of the Titans.
Right?
Clash of the Titans.
Right.
Yeah. The fatty man.
Yeah, the ferryman takes you across the river.
No, but seriously, like it's not like a good looking guy. It's always that creepy skeleton looking. Yeah, and he's got the hood and the long robe.
Or Skeletor from He-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Well, I think it's interesting to think about how we thought of it as a child. And I was asking, because the kids were asking what we were going to talk about. And I said, the Grim Reaper. And William especially said, well, what's that? Who's that? You know, so he didn't even.
I think
that's
it's
not
one of those things that doesn't really get talked about anymore.
Right. So it's interesting. And a lot of it is we saw it in movies. Now, I told him, I said, now, you know, the Christmas Carol. And I said, the Ghosts of Christmas Future. I said, remember the guy? I said, that's what I always thought of. Because in a lot of the movies, like, I don't know, Scrooged, and then your regular. Right? That's one where Bill Murray. That is one where they really show, and it makes it seem like the Grim Reaper. You know, it's a skeleton with the robe and whatever. But even in, like, he's seen the Disney's version, you know, with Mickey and then the big, what's his name, Pete, that has a cigar or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the same, like I said, it's supposed to be this looming character that takes you to the afterlife. So I do think of it as kind of a bad guy. I know that it's not supposed to be, but... I think it's interesting that we got our concepts of what it looks like and that the fact that it is a little bit scarier, it's an unknown figure, but it was from the bubonic plague era. You know, so back in the Middle Ages, that's where the pictures of death with the sickle started coming out. and in artwork anyway, people started seeing it that way because it was like harvesting souls. So I think that because death was everywhere, like, you know,
yeah.
a large part of the population was dying constantly. So
I've got a question for you here in a minute, but I'm going to read something with what you just said. It says the Grim Reaper seems to have appeared in Europe during the 14th century. It was during this time that Europe was dealing with what was then the world's worst pandemic, the Black Death,
mm-hmm.
or the plague, believed to be the result of the plague. Okay, it is estimated that about one-third of Europe's entire population perished as a result of the pandemic, with some areas of the continent suffering far greater losses than others. The original outbreak of the plague occurred, you know, 1347 to 51. So clearly death was something that the surviving Europeans had on their mind, and it is not surprising that they conjured an image to represent it. But why the skeletal figure? We call that the scythe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Scythe, yep.
Why the robe? Skeletons are symbolic of death, obviously representing the human body after it has decayed. The robe is thought to be reminiscent of the robes that religious figures of the time wore when conducting funerary services. Yeah. So, and then it says the scythe is an apt image taken from the agricultural practices of that time.
Yes.
Harvesters use scythe. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. So like you said, yeah, back in the Black Plague days. Yeah. But the question I was going to ask you, Sean, so why do you still think, so like research and doing all this and kind of reading a little bit more how it came about and this figure and all that, what the meaning, how come you still think maybe it's like a bad, negative, you know, creature, character, whatever?
I think it's the way it's still portrayed, like in a lot of movies and popular culture bands. There's kind of idolizing, but some people idolize death, or just the fact that we don't completely understand what happens after we die, or a lot of people don't, or they're still wrestling with their faith. It seems like people play with that a lot, and they most people don't tend to say, oh, you know, like there's a positive way. Now, a lot of people do as well. But there's a fair amount of people that really play on this, you know, question of where are you taking me kind of thing to, you know, and like I said, it's a personification. So it really is, you know, who knows? Like some people might think that your angel, when I talked about like angels taking you over to the other side. Now that to me would be comforting, but a black robed skeleton with a scythe, like if that really came across and said, hey, it's time to go, you know, like I would not feel comforted.
Well, to me, I think after researching and kind of finding out more about it, it's the opposite. I don't think of him as a negative or a bad evil force or something.
Supposed to be neutral, right?
Neutral. I think it's more neutral. Yeah. Because he's literally just doing a job of collecting whose time it's. Time it's
collecting your soul.
Yeah, and
he's a soul collector.
And how you lived
your
life,
it's your time.
How you lived your life, or how where your soul weighs out is where you're, you know, that's the
no matter what he looks like. Yeah, no, I get it. But to me, that's what I thought of from a kid to just recently. But now I'm like, oh, okay, he's just kind of he's not murdering. He's not going after somebody. He's not a killer. He's just doing his neutral job, I guess. But whether you're a bad person or a good person, or whether you're saved or not saved, he's going to get you. Because he has to get you. Not he wants to, you know.
Maybe he's a skeleton because he's been doing it a long
time. Right. He didn't used to be.
He's worn out, Nate. He's beat. He's, you know. He's
kind of can't be magical like Santa Claus.
Skin falling off the bone.
Mr. Santa Reaper, Claus your kept skin his skin. Don't you eat anything?
Worked his hands to the bone.
He should have been an elf like Santa, right?
Yeah. So anyway, I was just curious because with what we thought growing up, like we said, it seems like it's not talked about as much, or kids might not know.
Right.
Right. I'll have to ask my kids.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Do you know who the Grim Reaper is?
I did
as an earlier, you know.
Right. Well, because I think we grew up with it more in cartoons and movies and things that we were exposed to.
I don't think they're doing that as much.
I explained to William, it was kind of like the boogeyman in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's an unknown, but it's not, I said, he's not. You know, he can be portrayed. I showed him some different pictures, and I said, "Do you want to see any more pictures?" He goes, "No."
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. What's crazy about that is all the cultures that adapt their different way of portraying.
Else we can talk about, right?
The boogeyman. Yeah.
I like him in Bill and Ted. His excellent adventure. Right?
I've seen parts of that. I just haven't seen all of it.
It's been a while.
But I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
It's been shown in like movies like Bill and Ted, Excellent Adventure, The Scrooge and Christmas Carol type stuff. Death Takes a Holiday. One of my favorites, I don't know if you ever saw this, but is Meet Joe Black. It's got Anthony Hopkins and Brad Pitt.
Yes.
Brad Pitt plays, well, not to give anything away, but I think you get a pretty, it's the same kind of idea that Death Takes a Holiday. but in a more modern version. But he's there to basically take Anthony Hopkins, but he's like, I'll just stay for a while. And so Anthony Hopkins knows eventually he's going to be taken by Brad Pitt's character.
Yeah.
But Brad Pitt enjoys being there and even falls in love with his daughter and all these kind of things. But it's a really interesting movie. But that's a whole different personification of the Grim Reaper, of being somebody, you know, he takes over this handsome young man's body, basically. But you know, underneath, it's, like I said, the soul collector.
Yeah. Sure. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Nate? Like, what do you think as far as, are you kind of like on the, it's not as bad as you
I think he's
once knew him as? Like, he's just a neutral figure?
Yeah, yeah.
Just looks creepy.
I look at him as a neutral figure, but yeah, and he's very creepy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Still be, disturbing.
Intimidating,
having him
yeah.
show up, but I think spend a little time with him and you'll have a little bit of comfort being around him, I suppose.
So not to bring
knowing
in the whole
what
religion.
His job is.
You want to be a sidekick,
but like, are you? So, but like, you're because of what he looks like. Yeah, he's definitely creepy. But you're not like
standoffish initially.
I was like, oh my gosh, I was thinking he's the one that's coming after you, like a monster or some. But he's not. He's coming to get you because of he's sent there. Not he's just this evil spirit or demon. That's what I always thought he'd more of as a kid. I thought he was like a demon, you know.
Are you wanting to have a beer with the Grim Reaper? You better bring a bucket and a mop.
Yeah, that's true.
Or
that's
one of it. Yeah, right.
That's true.
It's going to get wet.
Yeah. No, I was just curious what you're, because I tend to, I'm like, my image, I'm like, okay, he's creepy, but it's, he's there the same as you could send a beautiful angel. They're there the same reason as the Grim Reaper. So
where would
just looks a little better.
This is a stupid question in my head, or a silly, like, imaginative kind of question. Where does the Grim Reaper hang out, or is he so busy going from soul to soul that
he's
never
busy, man?
Does he not? He doesn't reside anywhere. Then is that what you're saying? Like, he's in a
Seoul, Korea,
a theater.
Seoul, South Korea. I don't know.
But a bunch. He is in the ethereal plane. Like, is that what he just
I
kind of like
wonder,
disappears and reappears and. I don't know. I'm
does
just,
he, does he hang out with Bigfoot?
Purgatory.
Yeah, he goes through dimensional portals. I like that.
I did not see anything that talked about that.
No, that's why I'm asking. Like, these are just questions that came up when I was thinking about this subject. You know, it's just kind of cool.
I don't know. I am really. Yeah, I don't know, because why was he so death? Yeah, to especially back then with the Black Death, the plague.
Well, you never knew if you were next.
Yeah, and so what else are they going to conjure up but a creepy looking?
Well, and people were coming around in those, the
doctor wasn't something that was good. Obviously.
The doctors were coming around in those bird masks, and the cloaks. So they awful and
they,
scary. You know, if that came to see you, you'd be scared to death, especially as a child.
And obviously, grim. We know what grim is.
Right.
Situation's grim.
It's
not good. Yeah,
right.
It's not. But again, I don't think he's not the. Not person, but the figure that I thought he was, where like Nate
he doesn't
early
cause
on,
the death
doesn't cause it.
He's just collecting,
right?
It is interesting.
He's not possessing anybody. He's not killing. You know, he's just like, hey,
I think it's
come with me.
Time's up, bud.
Yeah,
it's like
time's
other things
up.
That
you're
we've
right.
talked about. You're talking about how different people in different cultures think about and see death or imagine this figure and kind of throughout history as well. But it says the Grim Reaper. How five different cultures imagine death. It says, death is a tough topic. It's both the one event that unites all living things and also one of the hardest ideas to wrap your head around. Humans have responded to death by studying it, rationalizing it, or just plain old ignoring it, which is what a lot of us do.
Right.
How do you understand a natural force? One option is to make death more concrete by giving it a bodily form, creating literal personifications of death, which is what we're talking about here with the Grim Reaper. So today you'll probably only see these personifications of death in the United States during Halloween because they're considered a spooky curiosity more than anything else. But looking at the history of death with a capital D in various cultures reveals a lot about how cultures deal with the end of life. There are a lot of deaths out there to choose from, but here are a few of the most famous. So, one of them that I wrote down too is in ancient Greece, Thanatos, which is probably where Thanos comes from, right? In the Marvel comics. So Thanatos, one of the first personifications of death comes from Greek mythology. Thanatos' name comes from something I can't pronounce, meaning to die. And he is the son of Nyx, which is the night, and Eurybus, which is the darkness, as well as the twin brother of Hypnos, which is sleep. So the familial relations alone reveal a lot about how the Greeks thought of death. Thanatos, it should be noted, was the god of nonviolent death, and he was depicted as the attractive man with wings who carried an extinguished torch. I think it was upside down, too. There's Yama in India. Yama is the Hindu god of death and is the judge of souls in afterlife. Yama's family relations change a bit depending on the version you're reading, but it's generally said that he is the son of the sun god, Vishavat, and the goddess of the clouds, Saranyu Shamna. He is also the twin brother of Yami. That gets into stuff that I can't say anymore. Blue and green skin. Altogether, Yami's appearance is more grandiose than scary. So it's more of a regal figure in the Hindus. Mm-hmm. Banshee is in Ireland. So the Banshee is one that obviously we're scared of. So in Irish mythology, death is foretold by the female spirit called the Banshee. Name comes from the old Irish Benside or Bentside, meaning woman of the fairy mound. So this is one that's a female. The Banshee comes from the 14th century. Some say the myth comes from old Irish tradition where a woman would sing, or more specifically, keen, wail in grief during funerals. Thus, the Banshee was a fairy singer mourning the death of a person. The idea of the Banshee today is that an old, terrifying woman with silver hair and ragged clothes screeches as an omen of death, but that's simply the most, that is the most Halloween-y version of the mythology. So we think of banshees as somebody that can like that ear piercing sound that can drive you to death.
There's a B movie called I think it's just The Banshee, and I think I saw it on the Sci-Fi Channel or something. And man, it wasn't like a blockbuster, but it was good enough to watch for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. But their depiction of a banshee was that screaming female character, and it was just coming through the TV. It was so ear piercing, but they showed this face look, not just the sound. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's a perfect depiction of a banshee for a B movie.
King's Island has the ride, the Banshee, too. And it lets out that scream.
Yeah.
It kind of scares the crap out of you when you're in line.
This says, kind of what we're talking about, says the Grim Reaper is a near universal representation of demise and is found in a wide variety of different cultures with many different names. British influenced cultures tend to portray the Reaper as being male or devoid of gender or sex, but in languages with grammatical gender, example French or Spanish, the concept of death is expressly female. Due to this, several cultures' variants of the Grim Reaper are expressly female or at the least feminine leaning. So it's kind of funny, like when
that is interesting.
Yeah, right. Who would have thought? Who would have thunk? Right.
I
always thought it was male growing up. It
just I did too. Yeah, I wouldn't even think about it.
I guess death is size. Dead. It's usually greater in mass than a human, you know, a man standing next to him.
I wouldn't even think about a banshee, but as being part of this discussion. But then the banshee is where I would think about a female. But I wouldn't even have probably honestly considered that before doing all this research.
Well, I was gonna say that's a separate, whole different thing, not a symbol of a Grim Reaper or a symbol of death. That to me, a banshee is kind of like its own figure, where it's going after you. Well, I can't talk now. To hurt you or murder you or to take you, but it's not. It's actually causing it. Not, mm-hmm. like I said, the Grim Reaper's doing just the job it's supposed to get you, but not, he's not causing the death, like you said, Nate. Mm-hmm.
So Grim Reaper is considered a European idea, and like we talked about, it comes from the Angel of Death and from the bubonic plague eras. And so that is interesting that we have take that black cloak figure through, you know, and that we still see him, at least in our Western culture today, you know. Mm-hmm. But basically from all that influence from a long time ago. Then the other one I was reading about was the La Calavera Katrina, which is Mexican. And that was, you were talking about the Spanish. Does the skeletal symbol of death doesn't always have to be grim and scary. That with this La Calavera Katrina, which literally translates to the Skull Katrina, is sometimes called the Dapper Skeleton. The personifications of death in Mexican culture can be traced back to the Aztec death god, or goddess, excuse me. Ooh, here we go. Michiquiti, I said that slow, but I bet that it sounds better when you say it fast. But the modern Katrina was inspired specifically by an etching by Jose Guadalupe Posada in the early 20th century. Its forms are strong contrast to the Grim Reaper. As she wears bright, colorful clothing and is far less threatening, she is now specifically associated with Dia de los Muertos, which is the Day of the Dead. It's very revered in Mexican culture.
Sure.
That's where they honestly celebrate, you know, with high regard.
It's like the movie Coco, the cartoon.
Yeah.
Movie. Yeah, we like
which
that.
Which is very good, yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's an excellent movie. Nate, you got something there?
Yeah, just saying that death is the great social equalizer, which is why everyone would be scared when they see a cloaked figure in the distance holding a scythe, slowly approaching and counting down those final grains of sand. It's said that sometimes he's depicted with a sand hourglass.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right.
Forgot about that.
Your time is... over or up.
yeah. And that's true because I never thought about that, the hourglass.
Is that like game over?
Yeah, game over.
Game.
See, it doesn't have to end. You just flip it over.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not grim.
Outsmart.
Brother Reaper. We can change this whole thing. It is the great equalizer death. I mean, we're all going to, I don't care what,
does it
famous,
matter
you know, who not you famous, are. Money, no, yeah, man. Struggle. I mean, tall, short, whatever. Yeah, it's going to happen to everybody, right?
That's right.
So, I don't know. It is. It's a good way to put it.
See, when Charles Dickens used the Ghost of Christmas Future, it shows the background. It is the ghost of the future is creepy, dark, ominous, foreboding, silent, gloomy, obscured, fearsome, foreshadowing, haunting. And his appearance is very tall, skeletal, slender, shadowy black cloak and hood with luminous eyes. So, I mean, that's ingrained from a young, for us anyway, in our culture, to like think, ugh, this is scary, you know, because Scrooge actually wrestles with his death and the idea of dying too early and dying with regret.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's fascinating to pull that into it.
Right. Right.
Did I say fascinating guitar?
You did say fascinating.
I was trying not to say fascinating, but it is.
Well, and Charon, like I said, we talked about Charon in Clash of the Titans. He's taking it across the river of Styx, you know, and to the island.
Not branches.
Huh?
Styx, not branches.
Right. Not branches.
I wish I was funny.
Now you threw me off.
I'm not as funny as I think I am.
But when I saw that as a kid in 19, that was 80, I think. To me, that was a really good depiction of what I would think the Grim Reaper looks like, you know, doesn't talk, has the hood, has the robe, skeleton, creepy points.
I think it's funny. We keep talking about Charon, but in Greek mythology,
Charon
is, and it says the same thing, is a psychopomp, because we know now what a psychopomp is. The ferryman of Hades who carries souls of the newly deceased, who had received the rites of burial across the river Acheron, or in some later accounts, the river Styx, that divided the world of the living from the world of the dead, a coin to pay Charon for passage, usually an obolus or a danaki, was sometimes placed in or on the mouth of a dead person. I thought it was over the eyes, but some authors say that those who could not pay the fee or those whose bodies were left unburied had to wander the shores for 100 years until they were allowed to cross the river. In the Catabasis Mythium heroes, such as Aeneas, Dionysus, Hercules, Hermes, Odysseus, and the list goes on and on, journey to the underworld and return still alive, conveyed by the boat of Charon. Not to be mistaken with Chiron, a centaur who taught some of the heroes and has a similar name.
Right.
We'll get that all straight right now.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
I think that's interesting because
it is interesting.
That character goes well beyond what we you know what we think of.
Sure. I've got. Do you have something, Nate? I can tell.
Can't tell, right?
Most of the time, I can.
You normally can tell well.
So I have a story here. Let's see here. I just lost my spot. Okay, so it says several archetypal stories are affiliated with the Grim Reaper due to their death status. One is a story in which a character finds a way to kidnap death, possibly to hold them hostage, only for the world to be thrown into misery and anarchy as a result. Examples include the aforementioned legend of King Sisyphus, but also the Russian fairy tale of Death and the Soldier, in which a soldier traps death in an enchanted sack until he finds that the world needs the reaper. In stories like the legend of Sisyphus, The kidnapper is killed and punished in hell for eternity, while in stories like Death and the Soldier, the Reaper, out of fear or intention, never visits the soldier and curses them to live out an immortal life of suffering without eternal youth. Hmm. Yeah, so there you go. I would rather just, I don't want to be tortured, you know?
I would rather not, yeah, no. Yeah, Sisyphus is the guy that has to roll the stone continuously up the hill. That's Sisyphus.
Okay, okay.
That sounds like an awful existence, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. It would be, yeah.
That is the thing is, I mean, this brings on kind of a whole different talk of what if death didn't exist? I mean, a lot of people have posed the question, what if you could live forever kind of thing? Would you really want to? And that would be, would you want to, you would have to age forever, I assume, unless you could stop aging. But I have had this conversation actually with, I want to say Harrison, and I might have had this conversation. Would you, if you could live forever, would you want to? And during the discussion,
you're talking about on Earth.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I want to live forever eternally as a soul, as a spirit. But yeah, in this physical body, would I want to live forever? No.
Heck no, not me.
No, because I told him, no, I think there's a reason that we come to a demise, you know. I mean, if I had quality of life, I would live into my hundreds if we could figure out how to do that a little bit better.
It's like the aging part.
The quality. Yeah, it's the aging part that's the rough part. But again,
the machine finally wears out.
To me, eventually, you know, like a generation, it's time to go. You know, like I'll have lived my life and it's time for somebody else to take a turn. So that's how I feel. But, you know, maybe someday that'll seem like an old idea, but that's how we still believe now.
I just want to make sure I sign my autograph. But other than that, no, lots more to do and more to accomplish.
Did you guys know that Marvel has a supervillain, Grim Reaper?
No.
I didn't know that.
I don't think I knew that. I mean, I'm not surprised, but
yeah. Damn. What does it give? Like, what year?
He appeared in The Avengers number 52, May of 1968.
Oh, even before I was born. Nice.
Eric Williams became the Grim Reaper.
Crazy Eric Williams? Huh. Yeah. Yeah. Did they show a picture of what they think he looks like or what he looks like? And
He sort of looks like a
same,
like Batman, but with a skull, like a pirate skull and crossbone.
Oh,
and like a electrical charged sickle.
He's a bat pirate.
Yeah.
With a charger. Interesting.
Quickly looking through here, though, it seems like he's a pretty decent villain. Defeated Hawkeye, Goliath, Wasp.
So he's definitely a bad guy.
Yeah,
he's definitely he's a antagonist. Okay.
The three Avengers in comas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would think. I wouldn't want to tangle with death, would you?
No. Well, we will someday, but.
Yeah, this is true. I will surrender. Take me.
You know, and I look forward to my reward.
Right.
So I do not. I mean, this is just a.
Yeah, you don't have to fear.
We had a sermon just this past Sunday, and he was like, "Just think of the most beautiful. You know, if you've been to the Grand Canyon, and you've seen the ocean, and the best food you've had, and just you know, just stuff like that." And he's like, "It's gonna, you know, you think God's just gonna make it like if this is the best, we haven't seen anything. You know, this isn't the best. You know, we can't even imagine what it's gonna be like." And like I said, not preaching, but. My faith is what my faith. So, I don't want this to be, like I said, I'm ready to live another 20, 30, whatever, as long as I'm, you know, healthy. I don't want to just
quality.
I don't want to be
right.
Suffering.
Yeah.
You know, my old boss at the church, he said, I am not afraid. He goes, I'm not afraid of death. The process is what scares me where he didn't want to,
you don't have a traumatic death.
Right. He goes, right. I don't want dementia. I want to know who my kids and grandkids, I want to still be active. I want to contribute even to my retirement. He's like, it's just the process of it. He goes, but do I want to pass away someday and go to heaven? Absolutely. That's the, you know, and unfortunately he got cancer and he battled it for about 3 years and it won, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. okay. Took his life here, but now he's, you know, where I want to go someday. But I never thought about that where it's not the death he was afraid of, it's the process.
Yeah.
And that does make sense. But I never thought about it until he said that.
Yeah. Cause nobody wants to go in agony.
Yeah. No,
long,
no. Yeah.
Long due process.
Drawn out, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, my dad died of cancer, and he had a year to battle it, and I'm glad he didn't have to suffer for 4 or 5 years. I mean, I would love for him to live a lot longer, but it was eating him up. So when he went on, and I knew where he went, oh, in a weird way. I was like,
it's comforting, right?
Oh, I have total peace right now. Talking, you know, I'm missing, but it's like he doesn't have to, you know. But some people do. They suffer and suffer, and really feel bad. Like, oh man, just, you know. Hopefully, it take, you know, it takes them, so they don't have to keep. It's like a death over and over, but it's you know, but it's not. I don't know. It's weird. It's just a weird concept, really.
I still feel. I picture myself. Oh, now I'm having funny pictures about like meeting the Grim Reaper and saying, "Can I touch your scythe? Like, don't touch your scythe. Don't.
How sharp is that?
I see the skeletal hand like slapping my hand. You know, don't. Not say anything, but just like don't touch the scythe. And then
do you have to wash your bones?
When he takes me to the pearly gates, I feel like I'm gonna go.
Is that a real hourglass?
Assuming they're gonna let me in the gates. Let's assume. Let's make an assumption. But once I go into the pearly gates, I swear I'm gonna look back and be like, "What the heck was that?" Like, do not send me back that way. No. I think I'll stay.
No, it's weird because I wouldn't want my dad. As I mean, he died at 70, 8 years just of retirement. So, and he was a healthy. Young 70, like he didn't look 70, didn't act 70. He was working part time. I mean, just, you know, acted with the kids and grandkids and friends and anyway. But yeah, cancer got him, so it took over his life. But if I wouldn't want him to come down and miss one half a second of heaven because it's so of what it is, you know. As much as I would love to talk to him, or you know, I had that dream. I'm like, oh my gosh, I could smell him, I could feel him, you know, I could. But to take him away from heaven, oh, there's no way. That'd be my selfish wanting it, but you know, it like I said, I'm not trying to preach, but...
So you're saying, don't fear the reaper, like Blue don't Oyster. Cool.
I love that song. Wait, Nate, do you have the cowbell?
More cowbell.
No, but I to me, like I said, everybody can have their own opinion of death and heaven and not believe or whatever. I don't. But that's just how I feel.
I asked a lady, a patient, actually, this last week, and I said, do you have one of those life alert buttons or any kind of a, you know, if you need
I
help?
Need one.
And yeah, I do. I think we all do. And she said, no, I have a cowbell. And I wanted to say,
that is great.
I know, exactly.
Did she really say that?
Yeah, her daughter takes care of her. So she said, I wanted to say, I need more cowbell. I didn't know she'd
understand. Like, she really does have a cowbell.
That she rings. That, she said, okay. I have a cowbell. And she's kind of snickered. And I said, that is awesome. But I wanted to say, need more cowbell.
Did you go, I got a fever.
Like, I wanted to, but I didn't think she'd understand it. I didn't know that she, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, that might be a wasted joke.
Yeah. Did you mention something about golden diapers? And then,
all right.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. That's good stuff.
This Grim Reaper, Nate, you're this and Satan, really.
Satan.
I'm going to admit, when you said the Grim Reaper, when you messaged, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. It's a good topic. And I'm thinking, that'll be a good mini. At the best, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And then you start looking into it. Because I think, I don't know if you may have not said, like, oh, no, I think it's a full.
I said either or, but maybe, maybe a full.
And I was like, oh, man. And the more I looked into this, I was like, holy moly, this is definitely a full. Because there's so much. Because I didn't think about other cultures. I didn't think about the, is it male or female? Is it bad or good, negative or neutral? Great choice.
There is also, and I'm not.
I've learned a lot.
I'm not. There are a ton of Grim Reaper stories out there, and I was gonna. I wanted to pick one and read it, and like, you know, kind of get spooky with it. But they're so long, so I'm not gonna do that too much. But there are a ton of Grim Reaper stories and people's. Some people say swear
personal stories you're talking about
personal. Okay. Well, some of them are made up.
Oh, okay.
And so they're great, like spooky stories. And there's some YouTube videos too. But there are some people that have accounts of running into the Grim Reaper, according to them, that they saw. And again, is it it's just something in our minds that we have, that we kind of, a collective consciousness that we think about that? And is it in a dream? But some people say that they've had encounters with death or the personification of death, Grim Reaper, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
The angel of death. So yeah, I don't know.
Found some more interesting stuff about him. Says he is able to turn his head completely around, a la Linda Blair.
Yeah.
So that he can survey his domain. The Reaper must be vigilant lest someone try to cheat him.
Wow.
He rides in a rickety old coach drawn by white horses that makes a god-awful noise due to the stones he carries in it. When he takes someone's soul, he drops off a stone. The Grim Reaper is not an omnipresent personification of death in charge of the entire world, but rather each area has their own Grim Reaper, who serves as the Grim Reaper of the area until such a time as they find a replacement.
Is that Gurgle the Grim Reaper?
Yeah, I think a little gurgle. It's kind of like the Santa Claus then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You
find, right? Yeah.
You know?
That's why I said Santa Claus could
you
keep
scare
his...
him and he falls off your roof. Guess what? Yeah. You're the new Santa.
You become the Grim Reaper.
And you read the Grim Reaper clause. And
right.
And you're, oh, crap. All right.
But, yeah, Santa Claus got to keep his skin.
How does he get around?
Who?
How does the Grim Reaper get around?
That's what I'm asking. Like, where does he go? How does he...
I know you said where...
A rickety old coach.
Drawn,
yeah, but that's like medieval times. He's still beyond that nowadays, right? I mean, he's probably got technological advances now. Like you said, he travels with Bigfoot. So Betsy Kolakowski
skateboarding or something. I don't know. Maybe one of those old
he just
scooters.
Hovers
on the hoverboard.
Betsy out there, she would be with me. She's like, it's interdimensional traveler.
Rickety old coach.
Yeah, I don't think it's a rickety old coach anymore.
The Grim Reaper can teach us much. He serves as a reminder that life is short and to make the best of every day. Eat dessert first and dance now.
That's right.
To cut away the dead wood and move ahead. The Grim Reaper also reminds us to care for out dearly departed. Go to the cemetery and care and lovingly tend a grave. Go to a funeral and speak. Remember those you miss, however painful.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty simple, I think. It's a reminder of to kind of live your days.
Yep.
As if it's your last. How would you do your last day, right?
Ooh. I
go buy me a Ferrari. And then
life is precious, though, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, we not to be morbid, but I mean, I got to go to work after this. And I could get killed on the way. I mean, well, what better way to spend my last hour is in recording?
Right, yeah, you're like,
where's Todd? He died. No, that's awful to say. But
No,
seriously, like we don't know what the next minute.
Yeah, you don't know.
The next hour is going to hold.
I was gonna. It's not funny to joke. I was gonna say we have a handful of replacements, but you know. Same for me.
Well,
Nate's
again,
got this all calculated out.
Wait a minute.
Well, I know it's like in my field of work. Safety is a very big concern.
Right.
But I sometimes, if I sort of befriend the safety person on said job, I'll have conversations with them, that kind of stuff. I say, you know, you guys make it difficult for us to do our job because you try to make everything pseudo safe.
Yeah.
Like, if they had their way, we wouldn't even be able to get up and do our job.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And it was like, you guys have to realize that you can't eliminate all risk.
Yeah, they're right. They're trying to take away risk, and that's part of the job. That's part of needing to get something done.
Yeah, it's I mean, I could get out of bed in the morning and twist my ankle and fall down and hit my head. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's as simple as that. Or getting an accident on the way into work.
Mm-hmm. That's the human element too. It is funny because we go back and forth with that. Because like when we were kids, think about it, we didn't have to wear seatbelts. I didn't anyway.
Oh no,
you know what I mean?
We didn't.
And again,
I rode up in the back window,
right,
of the car.
We did too. I know. Again, I'm not saying these things are wonderful.
I rode on top of the car.
I think safe.
I drank water out of the garden hose.
I'm glad that we have
Nate. How are you still alive?
That we keep each other safe. It is. There's a balance there, though. Like this day and age, like for whatever reason, we feel like the world is less safe, and maybe it is. And maybe I don't know if it was any safer when we were kids, but we did have more independence, and we did run around more. And that's part of living is risk. It is. It's a risk. You take a risk every day. You get up and decide to go live your life. And it is like, are you going to enjoy your life, or are you going to protect yourself until you're, you know, just this little old man or woman?
There's a slight upward swing of danger from when we were kids because cars are faster but smaller and lighter. They're not these big metal boats that, you know, you can crash derby each other and survive.
Oh, yeah. We had a station wagon like that, man. It's huge.
So, I mean, I think there are more dangerous things. I mean, bikes are faster and lighter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Yeah. Oh,
and then people tend to take more risks. I mean, how many, I'm sure there's people out there when we were younger that did some of the stuff, but I mean, you know, as we're growing up and teenagers and stuff, you know, they come out with X Games, so then everybody's pushing the boundaries of all these extreme sports. We didn't have that when we were little.
Yeah.
You know? The most we had was Evel Knievel.
Parkour.
Oh, man.
Parkour.
One of my childhood heroes. I love Evel Knievel.
Oh, yeah.
I had all the toys.
I mean, you still had, you know, death-defying people
right.
back when we were younger, but I think it's just with media and technology and it's just more mainstream and people just keep pushing the envelope more and more and more. So, yeah, I see it being a slightly more dangerous atmosphere now than when we were kids.
Right. And I do, I still am, it is unfathomable, and I said that I think fairly correctly, that I have lived as long as I have. Like, I probably should have died many times over throughout the years. It is amazing.
Has fallen out of a tree?
It's amazing. I have. Yep.
No, I haven't.
We've all done things that are risky, you know, so we're all lucky to be here, quite honestly.
Oh, yeah.
And like you said, who knows how much longer we got. So let's enjoy this. Let's podcast all throughout the night just in case, right? In case we don't.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, wait a minute, what did I just
you're
say?
Like, I don't, yeah.
No, it's true.
No, but true.
It's true.
Make the best of every day.
There's also a very full moon tonight, so just also as a warning.
Getting itchy.
Nice. You
the
go?
Wolf might come out.
Yeah.
Oh, you start getting itchy. I thought you were going to get kicked out of an Applebee's. Starting to get that itch. Oh, great. We'll be looking over. Nate?
I'm still waiting on the moon that is going to counteract the moon from earlier this year, but that hasn't happened yet. So get to work.
Tell me that again.
There is a moon in April. There was a full moon in April that knocked the world into complete madness, even more so than it had been through all these last couple weird years. And I have, as far as I've noticed in my life, it has not gotten back to normal. That's how my feeling is. That's my perception. And so I'm waiting on a moon to counteract that crazy moon. But this is supposed to be, I think this is like a super wolf moon or something right now. So I doubt it's
going to. Super. Wolf moon.
I've heard that. Somebody
super
said that today.
Duper.
And so I don't think it's going to be this one that counteracts anything. Who knows?
I don't really. Yeah.
Put your belief in any of that. I know. I agree. I'm just kidding. But
it took me. I never believed that the full moon did anything. My wife would swear by it because she's like,
she's
oh, my God.
She's in education,
gosh,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there is, and she's like, I'm telling you. And I'm like, oh. And then I think you said
you
it.
Might
medical
not.
Field.
Medical
yeah.
Fields, and then, so I think I believe it now, but I don't know if I'm believing
this. But you can't
this,
sit around
whatever this,
about it.
Oh, yeah. But when I see it, I'm like, oh, what a pretty moon. I don't go, oh, no. What's going to, I mean,
yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Look,
unless it's a super duper
film. Yeah, you're not in a field where that becomes a thing.
Yeah, you're in a very ice cold church is where you're
freezing.
One thing, though, I did want to come back to the idea of death. Just sorry. I know we got on some really interesting topics.
No,
but
it's true.
Death, I wanted to say earlier, is that when we talk about the fear, and what you can fear. There's so many things you can fear. There's phobias of everything, right? You can fear anything.
Ticks.
But if you think about it, would you,
wait
like,
till the talks come.
if you don't fear, like, if you can overcome your fear of death, which you're talking about, like, I'm not afraid of death. I personally am not afraid
really
of death
not.
Either. I'm really not.
Oh, trying to be.
Have
tough,
I been in my life? Absolutely. I'm actually more.
Yeah.
If anything, I've been more afraid of other people's death than my own death throughout the years. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more of a loneliness, you know, when you think about being lonely or you miss the people that you care about.
I miss my dad. I wish he was here. But for his sake, where he's at, I would not want him to come back.
Exactly.
Because he's going away from paradise and perfection. To see this nonsense? No.
So
no
to way. Me, like, not fearing death is a big something to overcome, you know. It's a big barrier to overcome for mentally, you know, for people, because people can spend their entire lives worrying about their death, and then it eventually is going to come one way or the other.
Yeah.
So are you really going to worry about it? So I don't truly worry about it.
No, either, I don't. I did. I have before.
Yeah, I have to. Right.
The older I get,
yeah.
I think, actually, the older I get, it's easier.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know, because I'm like, I'm not like 91, but I'm 51, and I'm not 21, so I'm just
like you did. You like to think that at some point that there's a reward to living this life, you know?
Absolutely.
You know,
that's
I mean?
Why, yeah. You know, I'm kind of like Bob. I'm like, I don't want to be, I don't want to die with a ravenous or whatever cancer, and I don't want to be, I don't want to have dementia. I don't want to live, or I don't, you know what I mean? I don't want to be sick and hang on. I mean, I, yeah. So I guess we don't pick how we go.
That's fair.
So I just don't want the it's kind of like the process of dying.
So does Grim Reaper have a cell phone number?
It's not 911.
Hey, let's speed this up. Yeah. I don't like what's happening to me right now.
Dial the operator for the Grim Reaper.
Now, like Bob said, though, he goes, "Am I ready to die? Absolutely not." He goes, "I'm not." He goes, "That's different." He goes, "I'm not afraid to die." He goes, "But he's like, I've got a lot more. I want to retire. This is, you know." So he had like 3 or 4 years of retirement, but you know, and that's true. Like I said, until he said all that, I didn't really, I don't know. I was like, "Oh yeah, I get that. He's not afraid to die. He's just afraid of the process." But he's not ready to die. But if he's taken, he's taken.
Yeah.
But he has a lot more to, he has more grandkids to,
Yeah.
That's what I'm fair. Saying. I'm like, man, I want to see my kids graduate and then, become whatever they want to do for a job. And I like to see, have grandkids and then I want to retire. So, I mean, if I died now, okay, that would suck. But I wouldn't know it. I mean, I feel bad for who I left behind. But am I ready to die? Heck no. I want to accomplish a lot more, I have more friends and family. I want to keep doing this podcast. I mean, if that doesn't, that's one thing. Yeah, it's the podcast. No,
I'm still trying. Though. I'm actually stuck on what the Grim Reaper's number is, but it's not 666. That's
no, got a number.
Satan.
Satan.
I don't know. He was asking.
I thought you said
like
he said, what do you
end
call?
Up with I dementia said, or something like
three,
that?
Yeah,
call somebody.
333. No.
How do you call the Grim Reaper? I think he's going to find you. He doesn't.
He's not 411. He's not 811. He's not a power utility.
he's not none of those.
No.
Call before you dig.
I don't know whatever.
No. Call before you dig, maybe. That's me.
Call before you die.
Call before you die. There you go.
Hey. I got a call, right? Oh, okay.
Free service, right?
Yeah. Press 1 to
711. 711.
711.
Because if you go there and eat all the time, you probably will die.
That's true. But you can make... Well, and you can make suicides. Remember doing those as a kid? Oh, my gosh. We'd go to the convenience store in Speedway, man. I'd have... I'd do them all. Oh, my gosh. That was great.
All flavors, right?
Yep. We either do, like, just the soda. I'd do a Dr. Pepper and a Coke and a Mountain Dew, or I'd do the slushies. Oh, yeah.
We used to go down and play arcade games.
Do you think I should put Gatorade in it?
Yeah, I'll do it. We used to go down to the Stop and Go, make suicides. And then we would get whatever candy and those big humongous straws of pixie sticks or whatever. And we used to play Ring King on the arcade. Remember Ring King? It was an old boxing game. You remember that?
Yeah.
And I can't remember some of the other games we used to play down there. Ring King was one of the main ones. But, yeah, we used to stop and go. Anyway.
The stop and go?
Yep.
Oh, the good old days. Yeah. So we're talking about death and now the good old days.
We keep bringing it back to brighter topics, right? Which I don't blame you.
Do you guys have anything else? Because I have one more thing I can...
Go for it.
You can. Have at it.
It's a story. It says, another example is the Godfather death story. Arne, A-A-R-N-E, or maybe it's like A-A-Ron.
A-A-Ron.
A-A-Ron. Thompson, see here... in the most famous example of this story recorded by the Brothers Grimm, we talked about them, didn't we? The Grim Reaper becomes the godparent to an infant due to death being reliable and just unlike the other two options of the devil and God, both of whom were too chaotic and cruel. Interesting. The infant grows up to become a physician and death gives them an enchanted glass of water which allows them to see whether the Reaper is at the head of the dying's bed. Or at the feet of it. If death is resting at the feet, then he can sprinkle water from the glass to cure the patient in question. But if death is at the head, then there is nothing he can do. The physician uses the cup and becomes a successful physician, but one day breaks his bargain with death and sprinkles the water on the bed of the king's dying daughter when death is about to claim her at the bed's head. Angry at the physician, death takes him to their lair, which is filled with a candle which represents the length of every human life. When the physician sees his own, he notices that it is nearly melted entirely away. The physician proceeds to ask his godfather to move the fire from his candle to another longer one, but instead, seeing an opportunity to teach the boy a lesson, death drops the candle, causing it to break and the physician to die.
Ooh.
That's eerie.
Wow. That is eerie. Mm-hmm. I like that, though.
Yeah. So there you go.
So those cats that jump up in patients' beds, right? When
is that like a Grim Reaper cat?
Is that a Grim Reaper?
Kind of a foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Psycho pump.
Psycho cat pump. Psycho pump. A lot of them are psychos.
I mean, yeah.
Sorry, cat people out there. It's true. Sorry. Although one of our neighbor's cat, that he's been around since we moved in 2008, he just died.
Aww.
And I'm not a big cat person, but he was just this big, fat orange cat.
Mm-hmm.
Just
Garfield. Garfield, yeah.
Yeah, we'd see him, and he'd walk the sidewalk. He owned the neighborhood. It was just funny, but he was a good cat. And I just feel, and so our neighbor lost his mom just a few months ago, Barb, and, you know, and so he's by himself. And now, you know, the cat that's been around, I'm like, oh, poor guy. And so, because he buried it in the backyard. And Amy was like, what are you
pet
doing?
Pet cemetery.
I know. I was like, great.
Yeah.
But he goes, yeah, I can't remember his name. He's like, so-and-so died. I'm like, oh, so sad.
Yeah.
Speaking of cats, but anyway.
Yeah. You only need 1, 2, or 10.
Yeah. You
know, crazy cat people.
Yeah. They're out there, Nate. <They're> cat people are listening going, hey.
All right. Hey.
I've seen.
Same with dogs, though. We have.
On topic.
Can go both ways.
Oh, yeah.
On topic, but spiraling out of control. On an episode of Hoarders, they were
that's a heck of a show.
Cleaning a person's house out and found the dead cat underneath stuff.
Nice. Like,
oh, that's where Fifi ended up.
Fifi.
Hoarders could be an entire episode, I'm sure.
Well, that's scary.
Creepy.
Well, that's that's where Uncle Johnny went.
You cannot eat and watch that show. It's I lost my appetite. Yep.
We watched a few of those episodes. It's
rough.
It's very... just sad and depressing.
Yeah, it really
feel
is.
Bad. It's a condition. It's
it's a mental condition.
It's a psychological disorder. It is, yes. Yep.
Thanks for bringing that up, Nate. Fifi. We could do an episode on Hoarders. That's creepy.
That cat had 9 lives. It just wasted all night. That's a Christmas Vacation. Oh, man.
Yeah. That's a classic.
The tree's dry.
Yeah. Thank you, Uncle crap,
Lewis.
Lewis. Yes, Uncle Lewis.
Put it out of its misery.
We have been around Robin Hood's barn in this discussion.
Yeah. Guys, I don't have anything else to talk about.
I don't either.
Death made me do it.
Not the devil.
No. The Grim Reaper. There you go. That was fun. So, Sean? You said you had a special...
I do, and so I've been excited about this. I have a middle-aged dark side.
Dark side, good.
I wasn't sure. You know, we're talking about a dark topic, so it's easy to do middle-aged moment. It is grim. It's just a true story. So I thought you guys would love this because I have done Metallica before, but it was one time when you weren't here when we did Metallica last. So we're doing Metallica Fade to Black.
I remember when I wasn't here.
Yeah, right.
But I don't remember the Metallica.
Crown Point, and we did... what the heck?
Okay, yeah.
You remember that?
Sad but true.
Sad but true, yes. Else matters.
Or nothing
else matters. Nothing else matters.
It was sad but true.
We were having bourbon, remember? Anyway, so that was the last time we did Metallica. So we're doing Metallica again. So this is Fade to Black. Life, it seems, it's so hard. I can hear this song in my head when I'm singing these lyrics or reading these lyrics, not singing them. Life, it seems, will fade away, drifting further every day, getting lost within myself. Nothing matters, no one else. I have lost the will to live, simply nothing more to give. There is nothing more for me. Need the end to set me free. Things not what they used to be, missing the one inside of me. Deathly lost, this can't be real. I cannot stand this hell I feel. Emptiness is filling me to the point of agony. Growing darkness, taking dawn. I was me, but now he's gone. No one but me can save myself, but it's too late. Now I can't think why I should even try. Yesterday seems as though it never existed. Death greets me warm. Now I will just say goodbye. Bye. So, and again, if you have not heard that song.
Fantastic song, but I've never really
listened to the lyrics.
Listened to the lyrics like that.
Well, the lyrics, exactly. So it is naked, right? Like that is, and that's what, so if you go listen to that song, like I said, I highly recommend it because it is an amazing song. I mean, the bass and the, oh my gosh, it's so raw. But yeah, Metallica at one of its finest. But it is, it's, if you boil it down, it's a very dark song about death. So I was like, man, this is perfect for the Grim Reaper because this is about basically sinking down into, despair and death and just kind of giving up. So I thought, again, it is a dark side. But that's sometimes how we feel, you know, in some of these dark areas. So, but I do like the fact that we pointed out that the Grim Reaper is not necessary or death. Personified is not something necessarily to be feared. It is something to be understood. It is something to be revered, and it is something to be appreciated, and it makes us appreciate life even more. So
yeah, Who's Metallica?
Who's
that
people?
Metallica? Metallica?
I just hope Lars doesn't come after me for copyright infringement.
Yeah, he was.
He's like, if you're going to do it, do it right and then pay me money.
I like Lars, but then he's kind of
kidding, kind of not.
Yeah. Anyway. Hey, he might be listening to this.
He could be. He's listening
You're
to
my favorite drummer, Lars.
Absolutely.
Sean said that.
No. I love Metallica.
No, that was a good song. The other, you know, the other dark song that I remember as a kid was it One? Is that the song? Or no, what's the song by, I remember the video, the guy, he's like a veteran and he's blind. He can't hear. He can't talk. He's got, maybe his arms are shot. He's just laying in the hospital bed. And all he can do is think about, it's just like, he's just tortured. I thought it was One.
It might be One.
It could be
One. Brett and Carl from Evil Never Dies are like, that's not this. I can't. Anyway.
They're hitting the buzzer to answer the question.
Yeah. But no, that was a good. Yeah, man. I know. Yeah, like you said, Nate, you hear these songs, but then if he reads them, you can really just hear.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to. You're not focusing on the music.
Well, because I.
Yeah. I lose a lot of what meanings are in songs. Yeah. I'll admit, I do.
Yeah, with me, you know, being a musician and stuff, I get lost in the vocal lines as if it's another instrument, but I fall short to listen to the deep meaning of the lyrics a lot of times.
Right.
It's like, yeah, like reading it out loud with nothing, just bare, really makes you focus on what is, you know, put to paper.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're right about that, too. I was looking up the video. So I believe you're right.
It is One.
It is One. Yep. Yeah, there it is. I'm actually watching it. I thought so, and I was like,
I
don't
read
wanna...
those words, man. I mean the video, because it's an image of this poor guy, and he's mute. I mean, because he's affected by the war, and he can't hear, he can't see, and he's just he's just laying there. Mm-hmm. But when you read these words, I'm like, oh boy, that's another dark one, rough one to, you know.
I'll do that one next time.
That'd be read that for an uplifting middle-aged moment.
That's right. Uplifting. Something like
but
that.
Thanks
right?
for that, Sean. That was good.
No problem. Yeah. No problem. So, I thought that would go perfectly.
And it did. You succeeded.
Perfect.
You want to give out the second announcements?
I do, actually.
Since you gave out the first, you might as well go.
So we're doing this numerical tonight. So right?
Yeah,
something different.
We're
right?
weird.
Yeah. Well, at least you admitted it, right? You're not in denial. Follow us.
I resemble that remark.
You do, right? Follow us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and now Twitter. So any social media platform that you want to follow us on, do it. We have a email address that you can contact us at, and that's makopodcast@gmail.com, two A's. We have the Tuesday Terrors every Tuesday, right? A couple, 3 to 5-ish minute videos just for us to give a spooky story, creepy story, and to just touch base with you guys and say hey. So that's a way to connect. We are on all listening platforms. Anything that you can get your or want to get your podcast on, you can go to it and listen to us. And make sure that you give us a 5-star rating and review if you like our show. If not, just keep moving, right? And if the app allows, right? So we have merch for sale with our logo on it. I get paid extra for this, right? Merch for sale with our logo on it. Go get you some. I like to say it that way, right? And we also offer segment sponsorships. How do we say that? Individually or...
Business,
brick and mortar.
50 like bucks per segment.
Brick
not
and
bad.
Mortar. Yeah.
We'll mention your name and information if you want to, and... This helps out the podcast.
Supports the show, which we always appreciate, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
And that way we can, you know, when we hire Ella to replace Sean.
You can afford her.
Because I know she's going to ask for her contract.
She's steep, right?
Yeah, I can tell.
I need you to pay for my college education.
She's a negotiator.
Yeah.
Are we negotiating?
We have
we're always negotiating. Right?
Yeah.
She is a mercenary. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Is that all the announcements?
As far as I can tell, it's not scripted or anything.
Okay. Sean?
Whoop. Again with the script.
Zip it.
Well, looking at the script, Nate, what do you have, bud?
Oh, man. We've come to that grim end. That's a wrap.
It was inevitable, right?
This is true.
The grim ending. Well, you heard Nate, and thanks everyone for listening to episode number 72 with us discussing the Grim Reaper, Until next time, creepies, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.